Today is 23rd of January 2022, Sunday. Today we will start off with a new series, a new book, the 9 lessons of the 6 Patriarch Platform Sutta. We finished the 4th lesson in our last session, last Sunday. So today is the new book. So this book we will pin it on the Zoom, right? And we shall commence our sharing on this new transcript book, right? The 9th lesson of the 6 Patriarch Platform Sutta. So this book is based on a direct transcript from the recording of this 9 lesson of the 6 Patriarch Platform Sutta class dated 6th of September 2015, which is about 6 plus years ago. So this sutta was conducted by me at this Wu Ping Ching Se Vihara. Okay, we will now turn to the preface page. Okay, the bio data, maybe I will read it out once. For those who may not recall or may not be familiar, so I had a short bio data. It's printed on the page before preface. So bio data of Brother Teo. Brother Teo graduated from the University of Malaya in civil engineering in 1979. He has been a spiritual practitioner cum meditator since 1971. Since his retirement in 2001 from his engineering career, he has been sharing his understanding and experiences with those who are keen in their search for true happiness, peace and liberation from birth and death, and all mental suffering, so that they can be a blessing to all of humanity. They are becoming a more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human beings. He gives Dhamma talk and holds meditation classes and retreat and weekly Dhamma session or classes at various meditation centers, Buddhist society, and places they invited him. For more details of Brother Teo's Dhamma activity and his Kayanamita groupings, please log into his website, http://brodeo.com, brodeo.com. Okay, then we go to the preface. It is Brother Teo's sincere wish that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth and cultivators will be able to make use of these enclosed Dhamma transcript notes to develop a better understanding of the Buddha's teaching or Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, nobler and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. As these notes were mostly compiled based on the direct transcript from the recording of the 9 lessons of the 6 Patriarch Platform Sutta class dated 6 September 2015, the text is aligned as closely as possible to the colloquial speech in the talk. However, some editorial amendments have been made to the text without distracting or detracting from the essence of the talk. It is hoped that readers will adjust themselves accordingly to better understand its true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to the recording first before reading the transcript. To listen to the recording, the audio file, you can log on to our website under repository of Dhamma material, or Google Brother Teo's Kayanamita. a repository of Dhamma material, to view them and alternatively download the audio file via this below link. There is a link, so you can check it out. Then the next page is acknowledgement. So this one we will acknowledge what people has done to make this free dana distribution possible. Is the donor's sincere intent that this Dhamma transcript book be given free to those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them? I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends or Kayamitas who have donated and helped out in the transcription, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc., to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister S.K. Hong, the late Sister S.K. Hong, Hong Shek Kun, who has taken the initiative to volunteer to develop the draft transcript for my subsequent editing, thereby enabling this Dhamma transcript book to be printed. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering and danger. And may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who have donated or help out in one way or other, to realize the good and noble wishes or aspirations soon as possible, with metta always relative. Okay, so now we will now go back to go to page 3, where the actual puja recording was recorded. So this puja is the same as what we recite just now. So if you want to know what we recite just now, you just go through this puja format. After that, we continue with our vandana. So salutation to Lord Buddha and Tisarana, taking of the three refuges, followed by renewal of our five precepts. So these are the Theravada tradition. But I started off with the Mahayana tradition, where we pay our respect to our original teacher, Sakyamuni Buddha. That's why we recite Namo Bansi Sakyamuni Pho, means homage to thee, Sakyamuni Buddha, our original teacher. Then Namo Kwan Si Yin Bosa, three times. Then Namo Pho Bosa. Then there are some great beings whose nature has also helped us a lot. That's why we recite and pay our homage. The purpose is to let people know that the Buddha taught only one teaching. Theravada and Mahayana came after the Buddha's Parinibbana, because it was subdivided. But actually it's only one teaching. That's why I link the puja so that you understand. Like I always said, if you understand the Theravada teaching, you can understand Mahayana teaching. No different. Because both the teaching are the same. Except Mahayana, their scope are wider. Their teaching cover more depth because it is the Mahayana's Bodhisattva way that they are introducing. So Theravada, basically they only cultivate the sainthood way to become enlightened. There are four categories of sainthood way. If you cultivate and liberate your mind and develop the first stage of sainthood or knowledge of enlightenment or awakening, then you will become a sotapan or sotapana, first stage of sinhood. Then as you progress further, you develop second stage of sinhood. They call it sakadagami, or once returner. So when you are a sotapan, you have the condition to only take rebirth seven more times within the sanctuary. After that, you don't come back again. You will have realized the various stages of enlightenment until Arahantship, when you don't go the Bodhisattva way, your whole of your form and mind just cease. Then there is the end of your cultivation after the realization of Arahantship. But for those who take the Bodhisattva way, they have their vows, their understanding, and they can continue to come back to take rebirth as a Bodhisattva. They don't have to take rebirth like a normal human being with delusion, with ignorance, avijja. So that's the main difference. But those with Theravada penetrative understanding, they can also understand Mahayana. There is no difference. So we are at page 4. Now let us pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Bodhisattva and all the other great beings that are worthy of respect, and the Triple Gem to end the pre-puja which we have done. And we are supposed to start the sharing. So every sharing starts with the verse for opening a sutta. So this verse of opening a sutta is very important. You listen, this one is very beneficial. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of eons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. So this is beautiful. Okay, then we go to 3.2 section. Dhamma and Sutta by Brother Theo. We shall turn to page 61. This one we will run through it quickly because we have covered it under the Heart Sutta short notes earlier. That one is more accurate. Now you can go through the one which is based on Master Shenhua's commentary. It is slightly different. But by now, you should be able to understand and develop a clear understanding of it. You go back a little bit to page 60, where the sutras start as below. One day, the patriarch summoned his disciples together. So this I refer to the sixth patriarch and said, I have something to say to you all. For people in the world, the matter of birth and death is of great one. All day long, you seek field of blessings only. You do not try to get out of samsara or the bitter sea of birth and death. If you are confused about your self-nature, how can blessings save you? So this saying is very important. If you cannot realize your self-nature, your true nature, or your original nature, then no amount of blessings can save you. The English translation is not so precise and not so clear. Anyway, this was Shenhua's translation at that time. If you want to have a better one, you should refer to our Heart Sutra short note transcript book. That one is better. We will now read the commentary. The fifth patriarch said, regardless of whether you are extremely rich or bitterly poor, you cannot avoid birth and death. Consequently, you should know how you were born. If this question of birth and death is not resolved, life is dim and confused. And you are confused with the coming and the going. You do nothing but seek merits among the gods and among humans. You do not know how to seek wisdom. Thus you sway and drift in the suffering sea of birth and death, which is samsara. The Mandarin words were literally translated. That's why it becomes suffering sea, kuhai, of birth and death. It is said that one who cultivates virtue or wisdom and does not cultivate merits, it's like an arahant with an empty begging bowl. He is very wise, but no one makes offerings to him. But if one cultivates merits and neglects wisdom, he is just like a big elephant wearing a pearl necklace. Beneath the ornament or adornment of blessings, he is stupid and will never solve the problem of birth and death. So this was Chen Hua's analogy. Not so important because we have our own understanding. Okay, then the sutta continue. Each of you go back and look into your own wisdom and use the prajna nature of your own original mind to compose a verse. Submit it to me so that I may look at it. If you understand the great meaning, the rope and the Dhamma will be passed on to you, and you will become the sixth patriarch. Hurry off. Do not delay. Thinking and considering is of no use in this matter. When seeing your own nature, it is necessary to see it at the very moment of speaking. One who does that perception as does one who bends a sword at the height of a battle. That's why this analogy that Chen Hua used was more of like going to battle, and the English was also not so precise and not so clear. Anyway, this was Master Chen Hua's commentary. Yeah? So we can go through the commentary quickly. The verse here is the Sanskrit word gatha. A gatha is composed of lines of uniform length, though the length may vary from gatha to gatha. Go quickly, said the fifth patriarch. Go as if a fire were about to overtake you. Do not dawdle or procrastinate, saying, "Oh, I cannot do it today. I will do it tomorrow instead." And then the next day saying, "Not today either. Perhaps tomorrow." Do not keep putting it off and do not try to think about it. It is useless to use our discriminating mind. You have deep prajna. You understand the moment you hear the word spoken. Just as one grabs a weapon and confronts the oncoming enemy, so does you perceive. You can see your nature is the same immediate way. So the English translation was really not so appropriate and clear. What he wanted to mean was not expressed clearly. If you depend on English translation, then this translation is not something you should follow. You should follow the Heart Sutta short note version. Anyway, we go on. The assembly received this order and withdraw, saying to one another, "We of the assembly do not need to clear our mind and use our intellect to compose a verse to submit to the High Master, what use would there be in this? Sun Siu is our senior instructor and teacher transmitter. Certainly, he should be the one to obtain it. It would be not only proper for us to compose a verse, but a verse of effort as well, but a waste of effort as well. Hearing this, everyone put his mind to rest and say, henceforth, we will rely on Master Sun Siu. Why vex ourselves writing a verse? Okay. So they would rather leave it to the most senior teacher, Sun Siu, who had actually taught them, guide them, and instruct them all this. Wow. They went away to other courts, other garden, and other buildings, saying to them, to themselves, why worry about writing this verse? We do not need to waste the effort. I believe that people who spoke this way were of Sun Siu's follower or parties. Why do they not write verse? Because Sun Siu's follower were trying to make him the patriarch. All his followers, disciples, Dharma brothers, friends, and relatives contrived to set up the position for Sun Siu. They convinced everyone else not to write verse. Because if everyone else write verse, then perhaps Sun Siu might not get to be the next patriarch. So this was what they thought. They secretly pass it around and whisper behind the scene, like friends of a candidate for presidency who say, hey, vote for this one, he can be president. They spread it about and stuff the ballot box. Convinced that they have no learning, the assembly decided it was useless to write verse. Swayed by the rumor, they said the senior seated Sun Siu is second to the abbot. His literary skill is good. His virtue is high. He lectures on the sutta and speak Dhamma for us. Certainly, he should become the sixth patriarch. When the assembly heard Sun Siu's followers saying things like, if you ever write verse, they will be very unpolished and certainly not good enough to submit. They all decide not to write verse themselves. They didn't want to compete with Sun Siu, their superior. So that was the commentary. Then after that, we shall read the sutta. Sun Siu then thought, the others are not submitting verses because I am their teacher or teaching transmitter. I must compose a verse and submit it to the High Master. If I do not submit a verse, how will the High Master know whether the view and understanding in my mind are deep or shallow? If my intention is submitting the verse, is to seek the Dhamma, that is good. But if it is to grasp the supposed patriarchy, for how would that be different from the mind of a common people coveting the holy position? But if I do not submit a verse in the end, I will not obtain the Dhamma. This is a terrible difficulty, or we call it dilemma. It looks like he was in a dilemma. So the commentary have this to say. The fifth patriarch had announced that in order to obtain the Dhamma, one must compose a verse. Sun Siu knew that if he did not submit one, the fifth patriarch would not know whether Sun Siu has wisdom and he could not transmit the Dhamma to him. Sun Siu freaked and worried. What should I do? This is very hard. It's just too difficult. In front of the fifth patriarch's hall were three corridors. Their walls were to be frescoes by court artist Lu Chen with stories from the Lankavatara Sutta and with pictures portraying the detail and life of the five patriarchs so that the patriarchs might be venerated by future generations. So this was what they call the wall that they reserve for the court artist to do a painting of the first five patriarchs and all those things. The commentary goes on. A court artist is one appointed as an official to the imperial court because of his talent. The title of the Lankavatara Sutta has two meanings, city and cannot be gone to. This city located behind Malaya Mountain is inaccessible to those without spiritual power. Sakyamuni Buddha used his spiritual power to go there and speak the Lankavatara Sutta for the benefits of those who had spiritual powers. The court artist was to defeat the miracle, inconceivable, wonderful transformation which took place in the assembly on Lanka Mountain. The court artist was also to paint pictures illustrating the flow of the Dhamma from Great Master Bodhidharma to the first patriarch, the first patriarch to the Great Master Hui Ke, the second patriarch, and so on, from generation to generation till the fifth patriarch, Great Master Hong Ren. This painting would remain in the world so that future generation might receive benefits from respecting and making offerings to them. Then we continue with the sutta. The sutta say after composing his verse, Sensio makes several attempts to submit it. But whenever he reached the front hall, his mind become agitated and distraught, and his entire body become covered with perspiration. He did not dare submit it, although in the course of 4 days, he made 13 attempts. This is another version of the sutta. This one was not in the original Heart Sutta, no. Anyway, it's not important. Maybe we skip this. Then we continue with the sutta text at the bottom of page 66. Then he thought this was not as good as writing it on the wall, so that the High Master might see it suddenly. If he say it is good, I will come forward, bow and say, since you did it. If it does not pass, then I will spend my years in the mountain in vain, receiving veneration from others. And as to further cultivation, what can I say? That night in the third watch, holding a candle, he secretly wrote the verse on the wall of the southern corridor to show what his mind has seen. So we straight away go to the verse on the sutta further down. So since you wrote, the body is like a bohi tree, the mind like a mirror bright on the stand. Time and again, brush it clean. So Vertius' comment was, it should be polish it until it shine. Huh? The better English words to use. Huh? So that no dust can alight. After writing this verse, Sensio returned to his room, and the elders did not know what he had done. Then he thought, if the fifth patriarch sees the verse tomorrow and is pleased, it will mean that I have an affinity with the Dhamma. If he says that it does not pass, it will mean that I am confused by heavy coming obstacle from past life. And in bracket, there was my comment there. See, he also understands that coming obstacles can be very powerful and that he is not fit to obtain the Dhamma. It is difficult to fathom the sage intention. In his room, he thought it over and could not sit or sleep peacefully right through the fifth watch. So this was the verse given by Master Xuan Hua. Let me move on to the next section of the sutta. The Pitri already knew that Sun Xiu has not yet entered the gate and realized his own nature. At daybreak, the patriarch called court artist Lu Zhen to frisco the wall of the south corridor. Suddenly he saw the verse and said to the court artist, "There is no need to paint. I'm sorry that you have come. You have been wearied by coming so far. But the Diamond Sutta says, whatever has marked is empty and false. Instead, leave this verse for people to recite and uphold. Those who cultivate in accordance with the verse will not fall into the evil destiny and will attain great merits." He then ordered the disciple to light incense and bow before it and to recite it, thus enabling them to see their own nature. The disciple all recited and exclaimed, "Excellent." So the commentary says, "If you cultivate according to the principles contained in this verse," said the fifth patriarch, "you will not fall into rebirth in the evil rhymes or the three evil paths of the hell rhyme, the animal rhyme, and the hungry ghost rhyme, and you will receive many benefits." Then the sutta continued. At the third watch, the patriarch calls Sun Xiu into the hall and asks him, "Did you write those verses?" Sun Xiu said, "Yes, in fact, Sun Xiu did it." He does not dare lay claim to the position of patriarch, but hope the high priest or master will be compassionate and see whether or not this disciple has a little bit of wisdom. The patriarch said, "The verse which you wrote shows that you have not yet seen your original nature or your true nature, but are still outside the gate. With such views and understanding, you may seek supreme bodhi, but in the end will not obtain it. Supreme bodhi must be obtained at the very moment of speaking, in recognizing the true mind, the original mind, at all time, in every thought. You yourself will see the 10,000 Dhamma rhymes are unblocked. In one truth is all true, and the 10,000 states are of themselves thus." So Bhatia's comment, thus means suchness, as they are. The thusness of the mind is true reality. If seen in this way, it is indeed the self-nature of Supreme Bodhi. Fifth Patriarch has given Sun Xiu a lot of very important pointers and hints, but too bad he couldn't understand. Yet Sun Xiu couldn't comprehend. And that was the reason why he couldn't come up with another verse to confirm his understanding and realization. Then we shall read on. But before that, maybe let me explain a little bit. So you see, the verse by Sun Xiu is actually not bad, because it's part of the Theravada cultivation. But he has failed to realize the true mind, the silent mind, our true nature. And because of that, he couldn't penetrate the Supreme Dhamma or Supreme Bodhi. So he is trapped at the mundane mind. But he has reached the more or less very end of the cultivation of the Theravada tradition's cultivation. Based on his poem, you can see. First thing, he mentioned is, this body of ours is like a Bodhi tree. That one, he got it right. But the second stanza, our mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. That one, he got it wrong. He haven't transcend the mundane mind, the heedless thinking mind, or what we call the conditioned arising mind. He only had the mindfulness to observe and realize that there is a mind that keep on reflecting things. That's why he said that mind, he believe, is the true mind. You have to polish it until it shines so that no dust can alight. So that idea comes from the delusion, because to him, he is still trapped in duality. Duality in the sense that he wanted the pure Dhamma, the wholesome mind state and thought process, which is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why he cling on to wholesomeness and reject evil mind states or unwholesome mind state. That's why he said, polish until it shine, so that no dust can align. So what is dust? Dust are normally the dirty thing that settle on the furniture, the table. You don't stay in a place for too long, you will accumulate dust, then form cobwebs, and that place will deteriorate. So when you look at the poem, you will come to know, since you has this duality in him, that's why he thought cultivation is about following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil and purify the mind by being ever mindful to reflect and to polish that mundane mind until it shines so that it is incapable of defilement. But not realizing that these are duality set up by the mundane mind, that the mundane mind create through creation, like the Buddha who had realized the truth explained. He explained the teaching very clearly. He said, it must mean sati idang hoti. It must mean asati idang ahoti. The first stanza means, when this arise, that arise. The second stanza means, when this ceases, that ceases. So the delusion that enabled this sensu to create the duality of wholesome and unwholesome created the problem. Because when you arise, the word dust is unwholesome mind state, then the opposite manifests. And because of this duality, you cannot realize the truth, because you cannot transcend duality, which is part of the conditioned world. The duality exists in the conditioned world. To transcend life, you have to transcend mind, transcend the mundane mind, and transcend all of the duality created by mind. So if you were to hold on to this delusion, you cannot free. That's why since you have this problem, he has to maintain his mindfulness all the time. Polish until it shines means non-stop polishing, then non-stop doing. When you are cultivating based on what he teach you, maybe you can develop some form of initial understanding of the teaching and lead to sainthood way. That's why the fifth patriarch say, if you cultivate this way, you will not fall to the three evil rhyme, means the woeful state, the hell rhyme, the hungry ghost rhyme, and the animal rhyme. So this part is true, but the actual cultivation to realize enlightenment, which is Nibbana, is to transcend duality. Because when you create one side, the other side manifests. So how can you kill or like achieve what you want to achieve? It's impossible. As long as you create, the duality will be there. That's why you have to cease the duality. That's the reason why Huineng, who has already seen the true mind and realized what the true mind is, straight away wrote another poem to actually to actually finish off Sensuous poem. This Sensuous poem get like completely crushed by his understanding, by Huineng's understanding. Because what Sensuous thought, the body is like a bohi, because he looked at the table, the sutta, then he know within this phantom land body, like the Buddha said, along with mindfulness, perception, and thought, he created the world, the cause of the rising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that lead to the cessation. So the four foundations of mindfulness actually can lead to the understanding of the Four Noble Truths, leading to the sainthood way. So he got it right in that sense. So make use of our body. Yeah, this is like a Bohi tree. Bohi is enlightenment, tree of enlightenment. You can make you enlightened. So you cultivate mindfulness on the four foundation. That is the only way to enlightenment, that it will lead to the awakening. But he haven't really realized the cessation of form and mind. That's why he failed to understand what is the true mind. And also the reason why the fifth patriarch said Sensuous has reached the gate of enlightenment, but he doesn't know how to go in. To go in is not to hold on to anything, not to cling on to anything, to just let things be and allow the mind to cease. So when you understand that the no doing is what the silent mind is, the true mind is, then you don't create. You don't create reality, wholesome and unwholesome. That's why Sensuous didn't have this understanding, because he was trapped in duality and he reached maybe the pinnacle of the sainthood ways cultivation, but he haven't completed. There is one last step that he couldn't realize. So what he did was he wrote that poem based on that. Then when the sixth patriarch heard about that poem, he was an illiterate. He straight away told somebody to help him to write. He said, I also have a poem to write. And that poem really tear apart Sensuous poems. He said, Bohi, true wisdom, is not a tree. Has nothing to do with a tree. The Bohi is wisdom. Nothing. Then the mind, which is a true mind, is neither the mirror's bright on a stand. Then he had that realization. He said, originally, this true mind, the silent mind, has nothing. So where can the dust alight? How can duality stay or alight? Because there is no thought, no mundane mind, nothing. Desire is empty. Originally, there was nothing. So that poem completely tear apart Sun Tzu's poem. So that is the amazing, wonderful understanding of Huineng when it comes to cultivation. That's the reason why the Six Patria Platform Sutta becomes so famous. And when the Six Patria became recognized by the Fifth Patria, he decided to hand over the patriarchship to Huineng. And that's how the history come about. That's how Huineng become the Sixth Patria, and he was very, very exceptional. He caused the Dhamma to flourish again, because he was the first to transmit the teaching based on the ultimate realization of the true mind. That's why his three hallmark starts with the true mind. He said you have to start from that self nature, your true nature. When there is no thought, wu nian, that is your true mind. Start from that. Then with that, when you cultivate, you will awaken. You will realize the next hallmark, which is wu xiang, no mark. No mark of what? No mark of a self-cultivating. No mark of living beings. No mark of others. And no mark of dhammas, life, existence. All these are within the conditioned world. That's why conditioned world has its duality and mark. But within the unconditioned, there is none. He know you, he know me. Like the Heart Sutta say, in true emptiness, all this doesn't exist. So this is what the Sixth Patria Platform Sutta is all about. It's very, very amazing, wonderful, and the teaching has a lot of potency. Very, very exceptional. Yeah. Then when you have the ability to transcend the no-mark stage, you will reach the third hallmark of winning. The third hallmark is when you have reached the ultimate cultivation. You will come to realize that this third one, your true mind, doesn't dwell anywhere. That's why no thought, no mark, no dwelling. That's the reason why when he heard the Diamond Sutta stanza that the mind must have no dwelling, he straight away came to great awakening. So this is the part that I want to share. It's not in the book, not in the commentaries. Even the commentaries that Shen Hua wrote is not there, not so clear. So what he explained is like what I have gone through with you. So this part, bear in mind. So we go back to the note and continue. So we read on. The patriarch chose the same hour every Sun Tzu had written the verse on the wall the night before. He secretly called him in and said, how to pronounce this piece? Was it you who wrote the verse? Then Sun Tzu said, yes, yes, whisper back. Yes, in fact, I, Sun Tzu, wrote. I do not dare seek the status of patriarchship yet, but then the fifth patriarch said, your verse shows that you are still an outsider, said the fifth patriarch. You have not yet seen your nature, your true mind. As soon as you speak the word, know your original nature. When you understand the mind and see your own nature or true nature, you know that the nature is not produced and not destroyed like in the Heart Sutta. For at all times, all dhammas are perfectly fused without the slightest bit of obstruction. There is no place where all dhamma are not identical. When you understand one truth, all truth is understood. The 10,000 external are all produced from the state, which is past. Past unmoving means from that nature it arises. And within the mind, which is past unmoving. True reality is to be found. Seen in this way, this state is the original nature exactly. It is the highest enlightenment. And so in response to sensu, I wrote a verse myself. This is referring to Xuanhua's one. So this time I think it's Xuanhua's one. Because of the way 10,000 things are born, one who obtains it penetrates the mystery oneself. Awaken, the basic substance is phantom. Bohi does not decrease or increase. So this is Xuanhua's understanding. He came out with this verse to prove that he has the understanding based on the Heart Sutta. So I commented that time. This was Xuanhua's response to the poem. Then we go on to the sutta. Then the Sutta say, go and think it over for a day or two, means 5th Patriarchal Sensu. Compose me another verse and bring it to me to see. If you have been able to enter the gate, I will transmit the rope and Dhamma to you. Sensu make observant, obeisant, and laugh. But several days passed. He was unable to compose a verse. His mind was agitated and confused, and his thought and mood were uneasy. He was as if in a dream, either walking or sitting down. He could not be happy. So this was the reason why the 5th Patriarch actually give Sensu a lot of hint. When he mentioned those hints, if Sensu had the past, the roots, the wisdom, if he has realized it before, he would have got the wisdom and straightway penetrate. Because the hint was so obvious, but he couldn't, because he was caught in knowledge, in memory, in everything that he learned, and he cannot realize something that he never learned. Because the true mind can only surface when you don't have doubt, when you have faith and there is no thought, when you have completely understood, when you have transcended duality, then the mundane mind naturally slow down and return to its original state and cease. Even if he had realized a glimpse of it, he would have become a saint. Then he would have understood what this thing is. But he failed. But the mind didn't cease. So because of that, he was very confused. So there was a state of mind of sensu. We will continue with the sutta section. 2 days later, a young boy chanting the verse passed by the threshing room where Huining was actually doing the threshing of the paddy. Hearing it for the first time, Huining knew that the author or writer had not yet seen his true nature. Although he had not yet received a transmission from the teaching, he already understood its profound meaning. He asked the boy, what verse are you reciting? Then the young boy said, barbarian, you know nothing, replied the boy. The great master has said, that birth and death are a profound concern for people in the world. Desiring to transmit the rope and Dhamma, he ordered his disciples to compose verse and bring them to him. You see, the person who was awakened or who has awakened to the profound meaning will inherit the rope and Dhamma and become the sixth patriarch. Our senior sensei wrote this verse without mark on the wall of the south corridor. The great master ordered everyone to recite it or to cultivate it. According with this verse is to avoid falling into the evil destiny and is of great merit. So that was the sutta. Then we move on further to the next page. Huining said, I too would like to recite it to create an affinity superior. I have been pounding rice here for over 8 months and have not yet been to the front hall. I hope that the superior one will let me before the verse to pay respect. The monk then led him to the verse to pay respect. Huining said, Huining cannot read. Please, superior one, read it to me. Then an official from Qiangzhou named Zhang Ziyuan read it loudly. After hearing it, Huining said, I too have a verse. Will the official please write it for me? The official replied, you too can write a verse? That is strange. Then the thing continued. Huining said to the official, if you wish to study the Supreme Bohi, do not slight the beginner. The lowest people may have the highest wisdom. The highest people may have the least wisdom. If you slight others, you create limitless, unbound offenses. The official said, recite your verse and I will write it out for you. If you obtain the Dhamma, you must take me across first. Do not forget these words. Huining's verse reads, so this one, I make the comment. Huining recited this verse to counter Sun Tzu's poem. Originally, Bohi has no tree. This is Xuan Hua's version. The bright mirror has no stand. Originally, there was not a single thing. Where can the dust alight? But the actual Mandarin version and the translation that I gave below is better. Because the English translation up there is, they translate direct from the words. Because the Mandarin words are, Pu Ti Ben Wu Su. So they translate as, originally Bohi has no tree. But the meaning is not like that. The meaning is, wisdom or Bohi is not a tree. Then the next verse is, Ming Jing. In the sutta, I didn't explain that. Okay, just put it in the sutta. Pen is from the word Pen Sing. That's why the correct word should be, originally Bohi is not a tree. But he said, original Bohi has no tree. When this verse has been written, the followers all were started and without exception, cry out to one another. Strange indeed, one cannot judge a person by his appearance. How can it be that, after so little time, he had become a bodhisattva in the flesh of time? So everybody was caught by surprise. Okay, we shall read on the commentary by Xuan Hong. Originally, layman Lu had no plan, had not planned to say a thing. But if he had remained silent, no one would have helped him write a verse. So in reply to the mocking of layman Chang, the master said, if you wish to study the highest Bohi, you do not ridicule those who are studying the Buddha Dharma for the first time. It may well be that those who appear to be the lowest may have the highest wisdom, and stupidest may have the highest wisdom. For those who have truly great wisdom may act as if they have no wisdom at all. No matter what they are asked, they reply, "I don't know." This is an example of great wisdom, which is like stupidity. For instance, when I ask a question of my disciple, they often say, "I don't know." When they first came to study, they say, "I know." So it's just like what Jai Krishnamurti's famous verse is. Jai Krishnamurti said, "The most dangerous person in this world is the person who says, 'I know.'" So there's a lot of similarity here. Once I met a person who said he knew everything, I asked, "How can you know everything? If you know all there is to know, I will ask you a question." He said, "What is your question?" I replied, "Do you know how many grains of rice you swallow at lunch today?" "No, I didn't count them," he admitted. "You're not counting, it's just not knowing," I said. Those who do the most manual work often have wisdom excelling that of people of high position. Then again, those who ordinarily have great wisdom may have time when their wisdom is suffocated by thoughts of desire. Okay, said the official, "That's right. You certainly speak with principles. Now what is your verse? Recite it and I will write." You don't have to say another one. "But you must remember to take me across, because if I don't write your verse, no one will know of it." So this is Xuan Huo's commentary. Then after that, Xuan Huo continues it. "Originally, Bodhi has no tree. Bodhi is just the way of enlightenment, and that's all there is to it. How can there be a tree?" So I commented, the Pali word Bodhi means enlightenment. That's why Bodhisattva. Sattva is a living being who walks the path of Bodhi to become Sammasambuddha. If there is a tree, Bodhi becomes a mere thing, a place of attachment. Original Bodhi does not have anything. If you say you are enlightened, what is enlightenment like? Is it green or yellow? Is it red or white? Can you speak of the appearance of Bodhi when it has no appearance? So this is Xuan Huo's commentary, his interpretation. Then after that, he said the bright mirror has no stand. You may say the mind is like a bright mirror stand, but there is actually no stand at all. If you have a stand, you have a place where you can dwell. But you should produce a thought which is nowhere supported. How can you have a stand? If you have a stand, then you have a dwelling place, a place where you attach. Therefore, the bright mirror has no stand. What is the appearance? No appearance. So again, this was Xuan Huo's interpretation or commentary. What is your understanding about the second line of the verse? The first line is Bodhi Peng Wu Su. Bodhi or Bodhi is not a tree. Because Bodhi is enlightenment, wisdom. Bodhi is not knowledge. It cannot be compared to anything. Then the second verse, Xuan Huo's interpretation was the bright mirror does not have any stand. Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai. The actual meaning was different, but Xuan Huo interpreted it this way. He thought, if you have a stand, you dwell, but the actual dwelling, the meaning is very deep. But since you wrote in his poem under the second stanza, is not the true mind. That mind that he described was the mundane mind. That one was not the true mind. Even without the stand, that mirror bright was still the mundane mind. So the actual meaning, the true actual meaning is the second verse, 明镜亦非台. The one that Sun Xiu wrote, the mind is like a mirror bright, understand? That is the mundane mind, that is not the true mind. That's why Sun Xiu said, the true mind has nothing to do with the mirror bright. Understand? So when you understand it means, its meaning is different. That's why when Xuan Hua quoted the Diamond Sutra, his interpretation is so different. Xuan Hua explained it differently. The real understanding is different because the true mind is just the pure awareness before the knowing. The moment you perceive, the moment you know, you already dwell. Dwell on what you perceive, dwell on whatever arises. The mind that has no dwelling is the enlightened state of the true nature, the true mind. It doesn't dwell, it's just aware within us, without a center. So the moment it perceives, holds and does not, or does nothing via words and concept. I read again. So the moment it perceives, holds or does anything via words and concept, it is already dwelling. So this is the real understanding. This part you have to contemplate, reflect and develop the understanding yourself. Okay, then we move on. The rest we can skip. Okay, we stop here. Huh? We stop here. We have to go for meditation. Right? So page 23. Yeah? Okay. So you off the light, right? So that you all can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Right? Always remember, this awareness-based meditation is to develop awareness within, not to use the mundane mind or the thinking mind to focus, concentrate, and to verbalize or to think. Always remember the four support that will support your awareness-based meditation. First support is to relax. Relax into every mind state that arises. You know what is relax, isn't it? To relax is to be at ease. In Mandarin, it's called fang song. It's to be at ease. Loosen yourself out. Yeah. So relax what? All of your body and mind. Whatever tension, stress, or tightness within your physical and mental, relax it and just let things be. No need to know, no need to do anything. Then the second support is to maintain awareness. Just aware. Without thought, you're already aware. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to know. Don't try to verbalize. Just silent, aware, finish. Whatever that arises within your sense spaces upon contact, aware, finish, aware, finish. When you can maintain awareness, that is your second support. So whatever happens, whatever arises, when thought arises, aware, finish. Tactile consciousness arises at the various sense spaces, aware, finish. Do not allow the thought to carry on, or do not allow your thinking to proliferate. So remember, the first two support can help you develop understanding on awareness-based meditation. Relax, then your mind is at ease, free of any tension, tightness, or stress within, means at peace, because you don't focus, you don't concentrate, you don't create energy well of any way. Then maintain awareness. Awareness can be maintained at the heart area or anywhere. If you have an object of meditation, you can maintain mindfulness or awareness there. That's why the Buddha teach anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. He never say focus on the breath, concentrate on the breath. No, he say mindful means just aware, breathing in aware, breathing out aware, yeah, just aware, finish. Then all the movement activity, you stay at the heart area, whatever vibration, whatever activity, your heartbeat or whatever, you can detect it, means you have developed some form of sensitivity. Where the doctor also need a stethoscope to be aware of the heartbeat, but you can be silent without thought, without the aid of any instrument, develop sensitivity to be aware of your heartbeat. That is good progress. It shows that your mind can be quiet. It can be in a state of sati or awareness to be aware. So you can detect any of this vibration or heartbeat. Stay there. Don't do anything. Allow the awareness to be just aware. Finish. Then the third support is to sustain the awareness for as long as you can so that you can stabilize the awareness nature within. So when you can do that, then the meditation will take off. Once this awareness nature stabilizes, the thinking mind, the mundane mind, will actually return to its original state of stillness, tranquility, inner peace, and inner awareness. Then you can realize this true mind, the silent mind within. The awareness nature is just aware, nothing else. There is no word, no duality, nothing. No perception, no arising of thought, no content of consciousness. When any of this arises, you have created a thought. His thought has manifested. You are no longer mindful or aware. You are already lost in thought, preoccupied with what your thought process is. Then after that, without you knowing it, you will input your views, opinion, and conditioning and belief system. Your phobia, insecurity, worry, anxiety, all this will create the reaction of mind or stirring of mind in you. That's how you become heedless. You cannot enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, is because your mind creates all this negativity of mind state, or what we call wrong thought. Wrong thought are thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your restlessness, your sensual desire, your emotion. So all these are wrong thought. Whereas the awareness is free of thought. So awareness-based meditation is to use the first three support to actually stabilize your awareness nature within. Then once you have stabilized it, then you can move on to the fourth support. But this may not be immediate. It will take you quite a while depending on your path and your understanding. So you meditate with understanding, you can progress very fast. And finally, when your awareness has become very stable and you can be aware most of the time in the midst of life, and then you are ready to move on to the fourth support. The fourth support is trust. Trust your own true mind or true nature to do the meditation. You don't interfere with the thought process, with your memory, with your conditioning from your thinking mind or mundane mind. So this is how you develop it. So I will allow you to meditate on your own. And I will now set the alarm for 45 minutes. Yeah. So after that, when the alarm goes off, I will ring the bell 3 times. Upon hearing the bell, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. But try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have already developed for as long as you can. That these are the mind state that you need to live life, to develop the heedfulness in life. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. So just try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you need to have when you are living your life. These are meditative mind states after you have trained them. And most of the time you are just aware, relaxed, mindful, without thought. So you can be in this state in the midst of life. And the Buddha said, you are heedful. And heedfulness is the path to the death. The heedful never die. Whereas you are not having this type of mind state, you are unable to be aware in the midst of life, then you are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead means you may be conscious of life, but you are not living life. So spiritually, you don't stand a chance to realize enlightenment, because the heedless cannot meditate. The heedless cannot develop wisdom, understanding. That's why it's very important to have this inner awareness within. Without this awareness, nature that is very stable, you cannot cope with life. Because when we go through life, we have to confront sense experience throughout the day. Our senses, together with our consciousness mind, the sixth sense, they are active when we live life. Every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, you are actively engaged with the environment, interacting with society, with people, and you lack awareness, you cannot understand what is going on in life. You can't even understand who are you, what are you, and what is this form of mind all about? What is this so-called living being or human being all about? Then without awareness, you cannot understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. You cannot understand the Dhamma, which are the truth within nature. So all these are the reason why we have to develop this awareness-based meditation to maintain the ability to be aware. When you are aware of life, you live. If you are not aware, you are heedlessly lost in thought most of the time and not living life. You may be conscious of life, you may be conscious of living, but you are not aware within. You don't have this ability to develop understanding and awakening. Okay, so now we will continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting.
Pratyu, we have somebody new here today.
Yeah, he is in Yong, I think.
Yes.
He is new, he is very new. He came to see me because he saw my website and he contacted Sister Lee. Then he spoke to Jin Hao, then Jin Hao relate to me how he contacted them. Then he texts me. That's why I allow him to come over to see me yesterday. And we had, I think we spent a bit of time. He came over at 11:15. And we end up at almost 3 p.m. I think 3 p.m. He left at 3 p.m. or slightly after that. We had lunch after that. But he is very new. He is not purely Dhamma based. He is exposed to other things, but he's very interested in learning this awareness nature thing. Yeah, he read about it. He has some understanding of what this thing is, but according to what he has learned. So when he came and see me, we had quite a good discussion. Then there were conditions for me to explain certain things to him that hopefully can help him understand better, because what he learned is very mixed. He started off with maybe he even go to Christianity, Bible study. Then he also learned some of the Tao practices. And the meditation he learned is usually thought-based, energy-based. And he also heard about some of the Sutta Huayan Jing, which he didn't know what it is, but he was told by some Buddhists that this is the ultimate teaching, the final teaching, which is very profound. So he interested in that. Then he said he almost every day chant the Heart Sutta. But the problem is he doesn't really have understanding of the Heart Sutta. But then during the sharing session, luckily later on, he was able to ask some very sincere question and develop the condition for certain aspect of the teaching to be understood by him. Well, I asked him, since you chant Heart Sutta, do you understand the Heart Sutta? So he thought he understand. Then he has certain experience when he chant. He can see light and all those things. Then he was very calm, very peaceful. But he got problem, energy build up. His mind has difficulty in relaxing or settling down. And cannot sleep and all those things. So these are the problems that people encounter if they do thought-based psychic field type of energy field type of meditation. Then later on I say, no need to go so far. Do you understand what the Sutta meant when he say that Kuan Yin Bodhisattva or Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva was cultivating the Prajnaparamita Sutta or perfection of wisdom? He illuminated the five aggregates, Wu Yun, Jie Kong. What is Wu Yun? He cannot understand. Then I slowly explained to him the two aspects, but I managed to only explain the first aspect. He can't really follow, but at least he tried his best. Not too bad. Then later on, I also asked him, do you know why Kuan Yin in that sutta say form is emptiness, emptiness is form, and form does not differ from emptiness, emptiness does not differ from form? He can't. He tried, but he said maybe there is his understanding. Then later when I explain, only he starts to realize the deep meaning of Heart Sutta, and there is no contradiction. So I only explained to him the first aspect. Then he found it very interesting. The first aspect or meaning of form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Then I told him there are two more aspects which are meditative and deeper, more difficult to understand. But maybe it's not ready and not time for him to go further. But then later on, luckily he asked me whether I have time or not. I said we had to go for lunch first. He said, never mind. Then during lunch, he made the trouble to ask me the second two aspects which I explained to him. Then only he realized how profound the Buddhist teaching is. Because the second aspect is mainly to let him understand what is yan qi yan mie, si yin yan fang. Where he mainly learned some of this Mahayana Buddhist teaching through the words, the Mandarin words. He knows some of the Mandarin words, but he doesn't understand Theravada at all, the Pali word, or he doesn't understand. So that was what happened. Then after that, I said, you need to meditate, to reflect, to contemplate. But explain to him the principles behind the understanding, how you must develop mindfulness or awareness to see clearly form, the unreality of form. Then only you have the ability to see beyond form. So that is the second aspect of why form is unreal, form is empty, empty nature of form. Then the third aspect is regarding the consciousness. How do you know that it is that form? The knowing comes from what? And finally, I lead him to understand the two mind, the two type of mind, the true mind and the mundane mind. But it's not easy for him, where he was so conditioned by the word. He is the awareness. He always say, am I the awareness? And he thought awareness is everything. He can't differentiate between what is true awareness and what is that so-called concept or I. The I is a delusion according to the Buddha. But because he lacked the basic essential Buddhist teaching, he cannot comprehend. And he finds it very difficult. He is stuck with knowledge, whatever knowledge that he has. But at least there are conditions for him to come and meet up. So I think finally he had a lot of joy. Of course, he texted me a message. Yeah. He was very grateful and he said it was a good meetup and he hoped to have condition to meet up again. So that's what happened. So just let him be first. Eh? He let him join the class, let him learn more. Then maybe when the condition is right, he may, like you all, start to share and all those things. So this is a bit of a background of, I think, according to Jin Hao, he said he is Vincent, I think. So Kim Yong is his name. But when he texted me, it was Kim Yong. So you can call him Vincent. Okay.
Yeah, I found the words, one of the words that Sister Alicia shared was very helpful. Si yan si zhong shen.
Ah, yes. Very good.
Si yan si zhong shen. So, yeah. 如果我们可以 si yan si zhong shen, 很多问题,很多 我们的 friction 都可以平息。
Yeah, it can help you resolve
a lot of
your negativity and wrong views. Yeah.
Yes, I help it very, I find it very helpful.
Yeah. Very good.
其实我没有什么要分享，可是那天我听了Sister Ingby 的 sharing， 让我想起我有一个 experience， 类似差不多这样的啦。
嗯，
就是当我做我的 cooking 的时候，我感觉就是 I do it wholeheartedly 啊，就是那个 awareness 跟那个东西好像。我就觉得好像 like, 哇，可以这样的哦。
Yeah. That's awareness when well developed, very stable, it become a part of you. The whole thing is one with everything. Mm. And you become different. You become very different. Mm.
Yeah. So after that, 我就当我切菜的时候。我发觉到我其实不需要用力的切，因为那个讲那个 awareness 跟那个 movement， 然后它就是 like flow with it 啊，你就是只要轻轻的动一下啊，
yeah,
就是
effortless，
然后它就是自己 adjust 哦，
yeah, yeah.
我就不需要的很用力，
对，
然后我就不会太累，然后这个、
yeah.
就是这个understanding。It applies to everything, right?
Yeah,
it applies to everything, be it you sweep and mop the floor. You know, 哇，很好，很管用。
Yeah.
很好的一个 practice 就是 like 你做任何事情的时候，你都会 fully aware, and then 你不会说把你的那个身体 like you know 你不会。Even the posture 啊，你不会弄到你自己有 injury。
Yeah, very natural, very natural.
所以我觉得很感恩我能够学这个 awareness 的
You become like very graceful. Then like no need to have any like mind state that is in conflict. Your mind is very calm, very clear, and most of the time you are aware.And because of the Dhamma understanding, this mind state that has this tranquility and stillness and mindfulness inside can make you very deepen. You become like very efficient and you can do things surprisingly fast and very natural. And everything like just flow. Very good. Sadhu.
还有他就是比方说有一个东西你要去说到这样，你一看你就懂得好像怎样去 resolve 它，就是比那个东西坏了你就懂得怎样，你不会 arise 一个怎样讲，就是说哎呀怎么办，没有，它就是一个 understanding， 就是怎样去 fix 回它这样子。
对
对，哇 so amazing，
yeah very amazing， 很奥妙。
所以我觉得这个 path 是非常的好和美好和
对
很多给我们很多的学习的空间，而且
对、
啊、我也讲不出来和 full of the gratitude 啦，就是
enjoy 啊，
对 a lot of joy and because of 这个哈，我们可以避免很多很多的那个 stirring of mind， you know, like
对
你面对事情的时候你就解决，面对事情你就解决，
对，
很多 aversion 啊，很多那种
啊，没有了咯啊，那些不会，它不会延期的，and you just know how to attend to situation， then with the Dhamma it will resolve things with understanding， it won't allow memory to interfere and disturb you.Your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, all you can actually see them. They are not helping. So you don't have to use them. You only retrieve them when you need information. I think there is a question from Kim Yong. He says, Sister Pamasri, could you type the Mandarin words you mentioned? Somehow I could not catch the word. Yeah.So maybe Pamasri, you can type already. Okay. Lao Pao Lai, and just talk. This Mandarin word, I don't know how to read. I must get my wife to help to read.
慈眼视众生，慈眼视众生，慈悲以慈悲的眼光来 看众生，
观众生。
So you get the meaning, you know. Hopefully it will help you. Yes, you must look at living beings with compassion.
Compassion. Yeah, got it. Thank you, Brother Teo. Got it. Yeah, thanks.
It's just like sometimes the Mahayana, they have some saying that can help cultivator. They sometimes say, when you offend a living being, it's like you are trying to offend a potential Buddha. De zui zhong sen, jiu shi de zui wei lai fo. So that one will create the awareness in you that how serious it is if you offend somebody, even a normal human being, sentient being, because they have the Buddha nature. They are capable of full awakening when they cultivate and perfect themselves. So whatever karmic offense you commit to such being, once they become Sammasambuddha, your karmic offense is going to be very heavy. That's why don't play and take this thing lightly. So if you can view all of sentient beings as potential Buddha or future Buddha, you will not dare to commit all this. That's why you must have love, compassion towards all sentient beings. Then your mind becomes different. Then you can accord and flow. You can arise when there is condition to assist or to help or to develop blessing, understanding. So this is what cultivation is. You'll find the teaching useful. The sayings that come out of that teaching will also be equally beautiful. That's why when you listen attentively, whatever Kayamita share, you can pick it out and make use of it. Like what Pamasuri has shared is from Alicia. Alicia in the past, before he came to the class, the Dhamma, she had past life. She was going through a period of very severe first novel reality experience. He was in 16 years of depression until developed health problem, gastric and all those things. Then a lot of suffering, misery, until suicidal thought keep on coming. Then went and see psychiatrist, doctor, take the medication, also doesn't help. But finally, because of good condition, good karma, somebody, his close friend, the friend who wanted to help her, told her about my class and encouraged her to attend, and she came for the Tuesday class. That was many years back, before the MCO and the pandemic hit. And ever since then, he learned very fast, and she has the interest. And because of the sincerity, the interest, she came to realize what the teaching is all about. So beautiful, and she know how to apply. When she went through 16 years of that depression, that wrong thought, that suffering, that misery. So the first noble truth reality to her, no need to explain. She know it like inside out. Then what is wrong thought was very easy. These are the thoughts that haunted her and created so much suffering and misery for her. And her delusion comes from not knowing this teaching. But the moment she knows, she understands, she applies the teaching so beautifully, she changed her life, she reversed all this, straighten her view, and never go the old way to create unnecessary wrong thought anymore. And he decided to have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, and follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, the good, and meditate to realize wisdom. Then he understand to avoid all evil, we must keep the precepts. The precept is the source of evil. When you violate the precept, you create major evil. So when we do the chanting, We chant the salutation to the Buddha to develop affinity and cultivate wholesomeness. Then we pay respect. Then we take refuge in the Triple Gem, which is most important. Then we renew our precepts. We undertake the training rules not to kill, not to harm, not to steal, not to misappropriate things, and not to commit sexual misconduct, not to lie, and not to partake in toxic. That this will keep our life in check so that we don't commit major evil. Then our life becomes more tolerable, better. Then we can develop better understanding of life through understanding the Four Noble Truths. Then after that, we put the Four Noble Truths into practice. We turn it three times to develop the three types of wisdom. So first turning gives rise to Sutamaya Panya, wisdom born of listening to the Dhamma. Now you can include reading, Dhamma sharing, or listening to audio file, video file, and also attending whatever sutra class, retreat, and all these things. So the first turning has been expanded because of scientific discovery and progress in technology. Then the second turning is to reflect and contemplate on the teaching. When you do that, you stabilize the understanding, then you can assimilate it to develop the second turning wisdom, which is Sutamaya Panya. Then the third turning is all on meditation, meditative. Bhavana Maya Panya means wisdom born of bhavana, the meditative training. So when you have the meditative training, you can insight into phenomena via the direct seeing. You can awaken, then you can become enlightened. That is how you develop wisdom. So the third type of wisdom is very penetrative, very potent, and it transforms the form of mind, the living being. That's what enlightenment is. It's not to say you see light. If you think you see light is enlightenment, then it's too bad. But I don't know why the English word they coin as enlightenment. Actually, the word comes from to enlighten you, not to see light. To enlighten a person, a being, is to wake him up. But to do that, you must develop the ability to have this awareness nature, which is your silent mind, your true mind, to really insight into phenomena, to the direct seeing. Only the true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind, can have this ability to see things as they are, via the direct seeing. If your mind is not silent, you are actively thinking, heedless, lost in thought. That's why you cannot be aware. And you are not able to be aware. How can you observe? How can you understand things? No way. So all these are very beautiful. So this one is to maybe share a bit so that Kin Yong can understand. Maybe he is new and he doesn't know the background of Kayamita. And most Kayamita, although they may not attend the class because of various reasons, but a lot of them will be listening to the recording when it's ready, when it's out. So all this are the activity that we Kayamita do and share. So this is to add on for Kin Yong to understand. Yeah, that's why he had a message to him. He said, thanks a lot. He rejoiced. You can read the message there. Okay, so I think Alicia, you can continue.
Thank you, Virgil. Talking about a 这个慈眼是众生, huh?
Yeah. Elaborate on it so that people understand.
对，慈眼视众生，我记得我有跟 Brother Tio report 过这一个 verse that came up with the message when 我在 India 的 experience。
对对对对。
But 这个 demand a lot of wisdom 和
understanding。
对。
Because this one from your nature it come out it surface when you are on the spiritual trip to India。That's why all this can happen 。
是的 ，Brother， 这个字虽然是短短几个字，
yeah.
可是要做到真的是不容易。
不容易。
所以
对，
你最近我在看普贤菩萨的行愿品。
哦、oh, wow, ，very good， 嗯。
呀，单单我看那个普贤菩萨行愿两个字，
对，
行跟愿两个字就让我。大吃一惊 ，Virgil。
对对对对。
有一个是行，一个是愿。
Yeah.
然后在他的 explanation 里面是说，我们一定要发这个愿。
Yeah.
然后去行。
对。
然后我就 recall 到，哇，难怪 Virgil 一直叫我们要拿那个 Bodhisattva 包。
啊，发愿。嗯。
对，发愿，然后。
菩萨道，走这条菩萨道。嗯。
对啊，所以。哇，我感觉到哇，只是那个普贤菩萨行愿呐、啊，我就要 develop 很多的 understanding。
对 ，and perfection of it, the cultivation of it. That's why a lot of people cannot understand. When they come and see me, talk to me, I always say, if you try to use the mundane mind, which is thought-based, knowledge-based, to understand things, you are far away from the truth. You cannot understand the reality, the truth. To understand truth, you must cultivate, realize, and awaken. Otherwise, you can't. Knowledge alone cannot bring about change. Knowledge maybe make you more knowledgeable.More egoistic, and sometimes you think you know, and that creates more actually obstruction. That's why in the Buddhist teaching, the Mahayana Sutta, especially the what we call Pure Land teaching, the Wu Liang Yi Jing, and the Wu Liang Shou Jing.So in that teaching, they talk about three types of obstruction. Of course, the first one is Ye Chang, coming obstruction. Then the second one will surprise you, So Zi Chang. Whatever you know as knowledge is an obstruction to wisdom, to understanding. The knowledge is always from the thought process, the memory.So the thought process and the memory create a lot of accumulation of knowledge, experiences, which are accumulated as memory. That's why our memory are the accumulation of all our experiences in life, the good and the bad. And what are they? They become your conditioning. They carry your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system.Your fear, your worry, your phobia, your insecurity, your sorrow and your lamentation. So all these are very negative tendencies or wrong thought that can create a lot of wrong view, make you heedless, deluded. Of course, you can have some happy moment now.Very gross type of mundane happiness and joy when things go your way. But this memory thing is the one that gives rise to problem. A human being who don't have the Dhamma, the mindfulness and the awareness to see all this cannot understand. And that is the only instrument they have to live life. So if you live life and act according to memory,Like what Jay Krishnamurti said, you are not acting at all. Yeah, you are acting according to your fear, your conditioning, your belief system, which is not wisdom, not the truth. So how can you act? How can you live? You can't. So that aspect of the teaching is very important. That's why when you say you know, you read too much, maybe you're such an internet nowadays, then you go and attend courses, you run here, run there, everywhere, accumulating knowledge, but you never practice. It's just like cooking. You learn all the theory, the cookbook, but you never cook. The very straight answer is, your cooking can never be nice, never be good. You can never realize that skill that is written in the cookbook. The photo may look very nice, but when you cook, the thing that come out is different because you didn't have enough sing. You have not cultivated it. You have not devoted your understanding and time to develop it. Everything you do in life is the same. You have to train. You have to develop the skill. And these are mundane skills. Also, you need training. You need to cultivate them, or they call it practice, which is a constant diligence. But when it comes to spiritual cultivation, wisdom, it's not mechanical, it's not a practice. You cannot commit to memory and keep on what they call do and do and do and do, thinking you will realize the truth. Cannot. If you don't understand, you can never awaken. The understanding is very important. If you do or develop meditation and cultivation of the spiritual power without understanding, you get stuck. But initially, you have to train. Train one. Train the mundane mind so that it is not heedless, so that it is heedful, so that it is mindful. And to train that, you can develop what they call diligence. That's why the right effort is there to diligently train. So initially, you can just bow, or you can just walk mindfully, or develop anapanasati mindfully, until this mindfulness stabilizes, until you become very skillful, like playing badminton or whatever. And then that is the beginning of cultivation. You are not until you are mindful and aware, after you have trained the mundane mind not to be heedless, lost in thought. Mindfulness cannot come about. Awareness cannot appear. You must train until the mind enters the deep. You are in a state of awareness. Then only you can meditate, cultivate, understand. That's why the aspect of seeing or cultivation is not what people think. Not easy. So all this can only come about through understanding. And for your case, Alicia, you have the ability to understand all this. So you went through the pathway, which of course turned out to be a blessing. It has helped you a lot, because you saw suffering, you saw the affliction, the misery for 16 years. That depression, that depressive years, suicidal thought, insomnia, health problem, a lot of negative mindset, can't get along with people, can't have peace, like everything not right. So all this is what the Dhamma is all about. It's like the Buddha said, the four noble truths start with the first noble truth. The number two of suffering, ku. So it's a ku, lu, yin, zi. This is suffering. You must understand it. That's why for you, the second turning of the first number two of suffering is very easy. So it's a ku, lu, yin, zi. You know inside out through personal experience. No need to read about it. No need to go and find out about it, because you went through. That's why you can see the wrong thought coming. Then the mind with the awareness and the Dhamma knew. And now, you have deceived me long enough. That's why that moment with awareness, the Dhamma surface, Yoniso Manasikara, you awaken. And the defilement ceases to be. The moment you say, and now, it ceases. That's how you apply the second right effort to prevent the arising of the wrong thought. That's why you no longer carry all the angry thought, envy, jealousy, unhappiness, all of the fear, phobia, insecurity, sadness, all this no more. Whereas you reverse them by cultivating the right thought, the wholesome thought, you develop virtue, compassion, sympathetic joy, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. Then you develop a compassionate outlook to look at the world, to look at sentient beings. Then you develop your cultivation beautifully through reading the sutta and understanding them. Even this Pu Xian Jing, which is the third section of the whole of the Fa Hua San Pu Jing. The whole of Mahayana Fa Hua Jing, there are three books. The first one, Wu Liang Yi Jing, we have already completed. We completed it. We use the text written by the Ciji Abbot, Zheng Yan Fa Si, which is very good. The essence of the Sutra of Innumerous Meaning, that one was very beautiful. And the Wu Liang Yi Jing has three chapters. They were very beautiful teachings. So all this we have covered. So when we go through all these teachings, these are teaching us how to cultivate the Bodhisattva way. So Wu Liang Yi Jing, the first chapter on virtue is very important. It talks about virtue of enlightened beings, virtue of great beings, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, the Buddhas. Then after that, it talks about how to explain the teaching, the proclamation of the Dhamma, the teaching. Then finally, of course, is the 10 merits when you walk the Bodhisattva way, the 10 grounds that create the powerful affinity and condition to do this work. Then after we finish Wu Liang Yi Jing, we have a clear understanding of what the Bodhisattva way is. And then only we went into the Miao Hua Lian Hua Jing, which is the wonderful Lotus Sutra. And this one we just started along. And this one is to explain to us how this teaching come about. It started with the Buddha trying to teach the Avantasaka Sutta, Fa Hua Jing. But he realized that a lot of the monks at that time were not ready for this teaching. Well, these are the ultimate teaching, the profound teaching. So he has to reverse back his teaching by using the provisional teaching and set up the provisional teaching to bring out the final or true teaching. That's why in the Miao Hua Lian Hua Jing is explained very clearly how he actually introduced this teaching. That's why all the skillful means that he brought out by introducing the provisional teaching that leads to the ultimate teachings, they were all there. And he also gave a lot of prediction to the disciple and predicted their accomplishment of Buddhahood and other things. And he also explained why this sutra is called the Wonderful Flower Lotus Sutra. Miao Fa, then the lotus as the analogy, Lian Hua Jing, the sutra. Because everything is so wonderful. The Dhamma is so wonderful. Truth is so wonderful. Like Amy came to realize what is really wonderful. So these are the understanding. That's why you went through. Then the Pu Xian Jing, just now you talk about the 10 great vows of Pu Xian Bodhisattva or Samantra Bhadra Bodhisattvas. They are really amazing and very profound. So Xing Yuan, these are very powerful words. You not only develop the vow, you have to put it into cultivate and perfect it. And all this, you already have the ability to glimpse them and see them. That's why when you have the training of the awareness, the Dhamma, when you hear truth, when you listen to truth or read the sutta, your understanding is different, you grasp it differently. All the beautiful teaching, the virtue, the wisdom, the understanding, they just surface. Before that, it's not easy, it's very confusing. A lot of people, when they read the sutta, it's like very dry, they don't know what the sutta is, especially the Heart Sutta. And like Kinyo also asked me one question, he said, there are so many sutta, where do we start? So all these are the questions that newcomer or new people will ask. But for his case, because he got a very variety of, I should say, coming past. His coming past was not straightforward. So he came from the background, but luckily he must have some good condition or good roots for him to encounter my website and willing to come and find out more, because it's not easy. Actually, people like him live that type of very diverse type of confusing karmic condition from the past. Normally cannot understand what I say. Yes, the egoic mind and the karmic obstruction, they will resist. They will cause the ego to be afflicted. That's why initially it was not easy for him. But luckily, he has some good roots and good karmic condition. That's why he can encounter and he know how to develop the request. So hopefully, because his life, I told him, he has to decide what destiny he wants. What course of action he wants is up to him. If he has the condition, he will learn. He will stay. But it all depends on what he decides now. Yeah, his life. He can only give him the blessing and share whatever that he can receive will be shared. But today's sharing is different and very good because of Kin Yong's presence, then Pamasuri saw it. So normally, new people are very new, not easy to understand this teaching. Even Chin Hao and many of you all took many years to understand, even Miss Lee took so many years to understand what I share. So, like Chin Hao said, he expected it, he don't blame Kin Yong for what he went through. So hopefully people can develop more understanding from this type of sharing. Okay, it's already 6:06. So we'd like to rejoice and thank Pamasuri, Sister Pamasuri, and also this Sister Alicia and Kin Yong for having the condition for us to have today's rather interesting and beautiful sharing of the Buddha Dhamma. Pamasuri want to say something. Yeah, you can come in. Yeah, Pamasuri. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, Ratio, just now when Sister Alicia was sharing, I was full of joy.
That's not the Pusian thing,
No, about the awareness where you do effortlessly.
Oh, okay. The mindfulness.
Before the class start, it was my face start drizzling. So usually you rush to go and collect laundries. Then just now I was, how come I just walk out? It was like, how come effortlessly I just, no rush, nothing.
Yeah, no hurry, Yuan. Yeah, everything will fall into place.
That's why just now when Alicia was sharing, I was full of joy because just do it.
Your place also rain.
Then no rush, nothing. Yeah. It was
just now when I was delivering the six patriarch thing, when I come to about Hui Neng, the poem that tears and seal apart, it started to rain. Yesterday was sunny the whole day. Then the rain continued non-stop until the meditation over. So this is really beautiful. Those who are aware, you will know. So Sunday, Pharmacy. So
and
you
And another thing is it just came to me that the Chi Yan Si Zhong Sheng is one of Guan Yin Bodhisattva's virtue.
Yeah.
I remember in the chanting we
you remember or not, he has this virtue.
Yes.
That's why they call her Qian Yan Qian Shou Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Da Zi Da Bei Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. He is full of love and compassion, and the 10,000 eye and hand is to symbolize her virtue, her commitment, her dedication of what she is doing. And Kuan Yin's nature is very powerful. My nature has a lot of affinity with Kuan Yin, and Kuan Yin was the source of inspiration. All of the cultivation, the protection of the form and mind. That's why you must pay respect, cultivate affinity with Kuan Yin, and request her great compassionate and loving nature to give us the blessing, protection, and the guidance life after life whenever we arise. The protection is to protect our form and mind, and blessings and guidance, which is the wisdom part and the cultivation of virtue. And wisdom, they will manifest. Because Kuan Yin has a vow, whoever who call upon her for how develop affinity with her nature, even you chant the Xing Qing, the Da Pei Chou, the Om Mani Padme Hum, and all of the whatever for how there is linked towards him, like Guan Yin Pu Sa, Guan Yin Pu Sa, Guan Yin. All this you can create affinity, that it will connect. Then whoever who call upon her name sincerely, she vow to help. That's why something will manifest, and it will be very beautiful. My mother also have faith in Kuan Yin. That's how she able to be my parent. Very strong affinity with Kuan Yin. So very beautiful. So let us rejoice and thank them all. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.